The music business was mean. Mean like Morrissey. The road to fame was littered with broken dreams, broken hearts, and actual litter. And the air was thick with unanswered questions. In a grimy office above the noise and filth, two men worked tirelessly to solve these mysteries. Their names? Tony Blackburn and his young apprentice, Ricky Wilson. The sign on the frosted glass door? Ricky and Tony, pop detectives.
Hey, this is a bit sad. This is the last in the series, isn't it? The current series.
Yes, I know, but the work doesn't stop, does it, Tony?
Not really.
We keep carrying on. We've got a lot. Hopefully, we'll get a season three.
And I hope so. Yes.
You know our plan for season three, because getting Sean Ryder. I mean, I don't want to say it from the horse's mouth, but we got the inside scoop on what actually happened. So next series, we should endeavour to actually get the people involved on, shouldn't we?
Yes, absolutely. I can tell you we've already been turned down by Paul McCartney, so it's one of those things. Perhaps he might change his mind.
We're very lucky. He doesn't turn everyone down.
Well, I'm surprised, actually, because he obviously needs the money, and I would have thought we could have provided that for him. But if he wants to turn it down, then that's fine.
Yeah.
I know what we could get him. We'll invite Ringo Starr. That would put the...
Oh, yeah. If we do the case with Ringo, the famous case with Ringo about whether he's had an onion or not, we could do that with Ringo, and then Paul would get well gel. That's well gel in modern lingo. But, so I don't really know what this is, because a lot of stuff that we chat about doesn't actually get included into the final piece, does it?
No.
Sometimes we ramble on about things we shouldn't be rambling on about.
Yeah.
And that is what this episode's about.
Yes.
You get it. So it's the worst stuff. The worst stuff.
Putting what's off the record on the record. Ricky and Tony, pop detectives.
You know, the most hurtful thing that happened to me recently was I'm broadcasting from home, as we all are at the moment, with this dreadful virus going around.
I've heard about this.
And I do a live show. I do a four-hour live show every week. My wife's downstairs. I'm doing the show upstairs. I went downstairs during a break for the news, and she was listening to another station. I mean, honestly, I said, "Are you not listening to me?" She said, no, I'm listening to something better. Because my wife, when she met me, she loved the music I played, because I was doing a soul program on Radio London. This was in the 80s. Mm. And she loved the music I played, but she didn't particularly like me as a broadcaster. And she told me that. So I went into, I married her with that knowledge.
Right.
She likes the music I play, but she doesn't think I'm particularly, it's not her style. Fair enough.
That is fair enough. I think that is a good thing. I think that it would be very strange if the person you were with was your biggest fan.
It would be nice, though, wouldn't it, sometimes? I mean, it would be nice, wouldn't it?
It would be nice sometimes.
You know, everything you do, get congratulated by the person you're with. I mean, that would be wonderful. You know, hi, Debbie, I'd say, good morning. Oh, my God, you look so good, and what a great morning it is. And things like that. And, you make a cup of tea. Oh, my God, you're so glad I married you, because you make such great tea. So it would be nice to have a fan with you, but I know what you mean. It keeps you on the ground, doesn't it?
And it does.
Your feet on the ground, that's what I'm saying. Yeah. What's your feelings on B&Q? I really enjoy going around B&Q.
I love B&Q. I like the smell of B&Q. I like the kind of places where you find B&Q, because they have the same kind of shops. They usually have a Halfords, which I love a Halfords.
Halfords,
smells like oil and rubber. I like a Pets at Home, those big pet shops.
Yes.
I don't really need to go in there, but I could spend days, often have spent days in a B&Q.
Yes, or I have. Do you have a favourite aisle? Is it the electrical section or is it the car section?
I like the tools.
Tools, yes.
Yeah, I've got a very well-appointed toolbox where very neat.
I've got one of those electric screwdrivers, and I can't work out how to put a different screw on the end of it.
Really? Maybe there's a bit or a chuck. I like, my favourite tool is a screwdriver, but it's the ratchet screwdriver, the one where you kind of push it in and the handle moves. Screws that screw in, that you pull it back and it doesn't screw it the other way. So I love the ratchet screwdriver.
Yeah, I like a good screw.
I know you do. And also, I've learned if anything can be electrolyzed, anything can be made electrical, you want it to be made electrical.
That's true, isn't it? From toothbrushes to, you know.
And lucky we have electricity, isn't it?
Very lucky, but it is, you know, we do live on a planet that is slowly dying. And I did have an idea recently, which I think you're going to love, which we could go through our website. I have an electric toothbrush. Do you have an electric toothbrush?
I do have an electric toothbrush.
And I love it. Yep. But yeah, I don't see why it couldn't be clockwork.
You're quite right. Anybody invented a clockwork electric toothbrush or not?
Well, just a clockwork toothbrush. Yes. You know, the electric ones are great. I used to have an acoustic toothbrush, but now I've gone fully electric. But I like the idea of a clockwork one because you'd wind it up and, you know, you don't... Electric ones tell you how long to do it for because it just stops.
Yeah, that's right.
A clockwork one would just wind down and then you knew you'd stopped because it would work for that night time. So a clockwork toothbrush... are you in on this deal, Rick and Tony's clockwork toothbrush?
I certainly am. I think it's an excellent idea. I think I would miss, with my electric toothbrush, it lights up when it's charging, and I quite enjoy just looking at it.
Yeah, I can see how that might be comforting to you. Mm. Yeah,
like my wife has an electric toothbrush, and I change over the power supply to her toothbrush during the night, and mine is on during the day.
Oh.
We've got a system, you see.
Ricky and Tony, pop detectives.
I tell you another thing I've been interested in while during the lockdown, you know, finding things to do. Mm-hmm. And when you have an Apple update, you know, on the phone.
Oh,
and,
yeah.
It's got updated. Uh-huh. I love watching the little sign going over it, you know, when it's downloading. Then the whole iPhone goes off, and then the Apple sign comes on again, and then it goes through the whole process. I find that really, really very exciting. How about you? Are you excited about that or not?
I'm very tempted to mock you over this.
No, please. But then, go ahead if you think it's stupid.
I'm tempted to mock you, but then thinking, yesterday, my iPad, it did the same thing, and I watched it. It's a giddy thrill. You are a thrill seeker, though, which I've always thought. The danger aspect of the high-stacked shoes, the danger of the boiling hot medallion around your neck. You know, everyday things don't give you a giddy thrill like they used to, so that now you're... stuck with getting your kicks out of watching your iPad or your phone update. I'm always astonished by world records, and you think to yourself, well, this must be the biggest or the widest or the longest or the loudest, and then you look up the actual one and it's a lot bigger and wider and louder than you thought. For example, the other day I had a funny story about a guy that wanted to have the world record for sitting up a tree. So he sat up a tree.
Branching out, was he?
Yeah, he'd heard it was 80 days. So he sat in a trip branching out. Sorry, I missed that. I was elsewhere. Shall I leave?
Not at all. It's a fascinating story. So this guy's up a tree.
He wanted to stay up for the world record. So he stayed up for 81 days. And when he came down, he found out that the longest person someone had been up a tree was 80 years. And it was a monk somewhere in Thailand or something. I don't know. But I didn't go into it because he was
obviously, here comes another one.
Go on.
He was barking mad.
Yeah. Yeah.
Did he have his roots were in that area?
Sorry, I can't think of anything. I'm totally
That's all right. Yeah, you turn over a new leaf.
Yeah.
I think we've done that, haven't we? Really, yeah. 80 pining, years pining. Up a tree, though.
Yeah, well, that's a long time. I mean, you know, but I think it was part of a meditation technique.
How did he survive? By he could obviously eat, could he?
I think he had a basket.
Did people haul the food?
Yeah,
up
I think he had a system of baskets rigged up. Mm. I don't know this, Tony.
Did he go to the loo?
You just piss out the tree.
Ah.
We told you this was the worst.
Well, it's an interesting story. 80 years up a tree, and suddenly realizing, you know.
No, it was 80 days
up a tree.
Yeah, and then he realized it should have been up there for 8 years.
Did the guy ever come down from the tree, the one that was up 80 years, or did he die up there?
No, I think he died up there, yeah. I'm desperately clutching at straws to think of a joke, but my brain's not working in that
way. He was dying to do better, was he?
Yeah, no, but you need a tree. When it's a pun, it has to work on two levels.
Yeah.
So I'm trying to think of a tree dying.
How about when he wanted to have a shit? What happened then?
He had a catapult.
Honestly.
He had a catapult rigged up. And
I wouldn't have liked to live next door to him, would you?
No, you wouldn't.
I want to ask you a very personal question, if you don't mind. Are you anxious,
All the time, Tim.
Struggling to focus? I mean, who isn't right now? I'm bringing new calm to your day with Grass & Co. CBD oil. I don't know if you've tried it.
I have, Tony. Grass & Co. It's a premium CBD range that blends the highest quality CBD with therapeutic botanical ingredients. See, I'm pretty clued up about this stuff, Tony.
You are clued up, yeah.
And I've tried them all, and they're brilliant.
Absolutely brilliant. I mean, I find it really difficult to sleep at night, and they've got a product for that. You just spray it on the pillow, and you're off to sleep. It's wonderful.
Yeah, I like rubbing it in.
You always have done, haven't you?
Yeah, I have done, but I've got my sciatic nerve, as yours is, plays up quite a lot, and if I just rub it where it hurts, I find that very therapeutic.
Well, when the lockdown is sort of over and we can visit one another again, I don't mind coming round with some of this wonderful Grass & Co. CBD oil and rubbing it in for you.
Thank you.
Well, what I love about CBD oil, some CBD oils can taste really, really not very nice, but this one tastes lovely, pepperminty, and it's great. It's wonderful. I love it.
It sounds like you're reading an advert there, but I actually do agree with that because I used to have one that I put under my tongue and it felt like I'd like licked a grocer's shop floor. And now it feels like I'm walking through a meadow.
My routine is I get up in the morning, I put 3 drops under my tongue, hold it there for about 90 seconds because it seeps in, and then swallow it. And then I sometimes, not always, sometimes at midday I do the same, and certainly at night time because it does relax you so much.
Find your lockdown calm with grassandco.com. The calm CBD range includes botanicals, evening primrose, ashwagandha, chamomile, marula and mint to bring back balance to your day.
Delicious.
We've got a special offer for you, haven't we, Tony? Special offer.
We have got a special offer. Do you want to tell everybody about it, Ricky?
Of course I will. Find your calm with 25% off and free shipping at grassandco.com/pop. That's /pop. All you need to do is enter the promo code POP at the checkout and you'll get 25% off your order and free shipping. Hey, you know what a lot of people ask, Tony?
What's
about
that?
When they're taking something like this, quality testing. Now, I think this is important because Grass & Co. are the CBD wellness experts. They only use the best of the best organic CBD and botanicals. The products work with your body to deliver uplifting results you can feel instantly. All the ingredients, Tony, are sourced ethically and go through rigorous lab tests to test the CBD content.
Very, very important because you want to know what you're putting under your tongue, don't you?
Safety is important. Grass & Co. CBD oils contain no trace of THC. Now, that's the stuff that makes you loopy. So we don't have to sell it on the sly anymore, Tony.
That's terrific.
We can sell it on our podcast.
Yep. And while we're doing our investigations, we can be nice and relaxed about it.
Always relaxed. We don't have to do our podcast in the bath anymore, do we? Because that's how we used to get relaxed.
Well, actually, I have. So I don't know if you've got any of the CBD oil, but if you get in a bath,
you can put it in there.
It is.
I didn't get that.
Didn't you get that?
No, I didn't get. I didn't get that.
I should have shown you that.
No, I got the stuff under your tongue, and I got the muscle rub, and another bottle I haven't investigated yet. Oh, right. I'd like the bath.
That's that one. Discover CBD today. Visit grassandco.com for a better day.
It is. And remember, the special offer, find your calm with 25% off and free shipping. Enter the promo code POP at the checkout at grassandco.com/pop. Pop.
Can I do that as well?
Do you mind? Can you pop?
Thank you.
Wow. Grass & Co. Life enhanced by nature.
With his brains and his looks, they could go places. Ricky and Tony, pop detectives.
Do you like cheese, by the way?
No, it's not. This is my one phobia.
Cheese.
You know, I don't think phobias are things like fears of sharks, because they are actually terrifying. I think a phobia, in my case, is something that's totally irrational. But no, I have terrible fear of cheese.
What do you think it's going to do to you, then?
I don't know, but there's one street in Covent Garden where there's a cheese shop, and I won't walk down it, Tony.
Really?
And there is a good shoe shop on that street as well.
Are you allergic to cheese or not?
Dairy isn't good for me. But no. I think the phobia has come from that intolerance. But yeah, I do have.
I mean, does it go back to your childhood when your mum and dad said have this cheese and you didn't want it, and
possibly,
then you had it and you felt unwell or not?
Possibly. I don't want to open those doors. It's not the time or the place. But you know, if we start scratching at the surface of this, it could get very dark.
I mean, when this virus thing is all over, perhaps we could go to a cheese shop
And I could, you could have a little bit of brie or something.
No,
and just see how it goes, you know. Cause
it's a phobia, Tony. Do you have any irrational fears?
Not really. Not irrational. I don't like heights very much. I don't like looking over buildings.
That's totally rational, I think. Do you have a thing that I have, which is it's more of a fear that I'll go mad and jump off.
I've never had that desire to jump off a tall building.
Yeah. No, but I look over and I think, ooh, I wonder what would happen.
Don't try it, because take it from me, you'll kill yourself. On the other hand, you know, if you're I had a friend of mine who fell off a ladder.
Yeah.
And it didn't do him any harm at all, because he was on the first rung.
Well, maybe I'll start at rung one. And see how I go. Yeah. But
ladders are very, very. You've got to be careful of ladders, by the way. I mean, forget about cheese for a minute. Ladders. I was up a ladder the other day, doing the hedge, and fell off the ladder.
Did you?
Luckily into the hedge.
That's all right then. But the thing is, that's the kind of height that scares me. The kind that you just really hurt and winded, and maybe a broken leg. I'm not as scared of the heights where you look over and you think that I'm a goner.
Imagine you're jumping off the. Some high tower, Blackpool Tower.
Yeah.
You're just by the big one.
Yeah, that would
right? kill me. And you're looking over there and you think, whoa, I'm going to try it. Now, as you came towards the ground, you wouldn't know much about it, would you?
No.
You think to yourself, I wish I hadn't done this.
I once dove off a 10-metre diving board, okay?
Yeah.
And that's very high. It doesn't sound very high to me, but they're very high. And then it was halfway down, my body went into panic and started flailing around a lot. Now, and it was at that point that I remember thinking quite clearly, I've never fallen for this long before. And it made me panic. So 10 metres is terrifying.
It can hurt your head as well.
They had a machine, actually, underwater, which we couldn't turn on because it would ruin the filming, because they had underwater cameras. Yeah. And it bubbled at the bottom of the water to make the water softer when you landed in it.
Really?
Yeah,
I've never heard of
and
that
here's
before.
An interesting thing about diving.
Yeah.
The higher you dive from, the less deep you go when you hit the water.
I didn't know that.
Because if you jump, let's say, from 2 meters,
yeah,
you go into the water at such a speed that you keep going down. Mm. But when you hit it like, I'm going to smack my hands together, when you hit it like that, it slows you down very quickly. So you don't actually go as deep from a high dive than you do off a lower dive.
That is interesting. Where did you get that bit of information from? A diving book or what?
Well, this is from the day I spent diving. But also, I've cleverly got you off the subject of cheese because I was getting quite wobbly. Thank you for joining us, Sean. Are you there?
You there?
There he is.
Guys. It cut out and I had to get out old because I don't know what to do. I don't know what buttons to push.
Have you been on Pointless?
I have been on Pointless. Have you been on Pointless?
I have, yes. I went on Tipping Point as well.
I've never done that.
No. That's really good. I won that one as well. Got all my questions right, apart from one, which I got a lot of stick for.
Which one was that?
I didn't know what it was called when you go camping in churches. I still don't know.
No, I've got no idea at all.
They said
camping
a word.
In churches?
It's a thing.
In a church or outside a church?
Well, this is what I'd never heard of it before, but
you're going
that
out,
was a thing.
Camping outside a church, you're dead, aren't you? Because you're in a graveyard.
Well, no, I think it's people do tours of the country and they're allowed to sleep in the churches.
I didn't know that. I got no idea. You wouldn't pitch your tent in a graveyard, though, would you?
You wouldn't.
No, I wouldn't want to sleep in a church, would you? Well, I have actually on several occasions. when I was at school, I went to the shortest service I could possibly go to because I was at a boarding school, and I found the services quite boring because I'm not I'm not exactly religious, you know.
But you wouldn't class that as camping.
No. I've never camped in a church.
No, but it's weird because I think the word for bell ring is campanology.
It is.
Yeah.
So I have rung a bell. Have you?
No, I haven't. No.
Oh, I have. I've got a hold of the rope and rung it.
Oh, I love that. Did it pull you back up?
No, it didn't. Not the one I had. It was a fairly small bell. It wasn't one of the bigger bells. There was a professional doing the bigger bell, and you had to really tug on it with mine. It was
you had a mini bell.
Like that.
Yeah, baby bell.
No, mini bell it was. Yeah.
So
I enjoyed it though. I love the sound of church bells.
And you know, as you know, I'm supposed to be, if it goes ahead, getting married in late September, which is looking less and less likely. But we talked to the vicar the other day, and she said that if we do, there's only 20 people in the church, no organ, no singing, and worst of all, no bells as we leave.
Oh, you're joking. Why no bells?
I don't know. Maybe because the
Nobel Prize.
Very good. Yeah. Very quick. Maybe because the people that are into bell ringing, I don't think it's a young person's sport.
No, it isn't. No, you tend to find older people ringing bells.
But we should get more younger people into it, because it must die. Things, old skills like that must die out if you haven't got the youths getting into it. They're all into, you know, hip-hop and grime. We should be encouraging them to get into bell ringing.
I think you're absolutely right on that one. And where would you start? You start recruiting them, you know, go around a place like Reading or something like that and say, you know, you fancy ringing a bell.
I think I'd get a specialist group of politicians to come up with a hip campaign to make bell ringing hip.
Somebody like Boris Johnson.
Yeah.
Or something like that. He'd go down there and say, would you like to ring my bell?
Yeah, he'd say, guys, this is cool.
And this is great.
And they'd say, no way am I going to get into knife crime. I'm going to get into bell ringing instead. That's where the cool kids are.
My God, that's, you know, it's, socially, that's a great idea as well.
I think it is.
To get people away from knives and into bell ringing.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's, I mean.
They should melt down the knives and make bells.
Mind you, some people who might you know, you could actually, if you didn't like somebody, you could put somebody under the bell and drop it on top of them, couldn't they? So, I mean, it wouldn't be knifing someone, it would be belling someone.
Yeah, it would.
Wouldn't it?
It
would be belling.
It would.
I don't know how you'd describe that, and you'd be up in court and say, you know, did you bell that person there?
Give me
a bell.
Damn good belling.
Damn good belling. Yes, and I think that is one way you could get youngsters into bell ringing.
I'm really pleased about when we put the words to rights like this. It's very encouraging for the future generations.
Ricky and Tony, Pop Detectives.
This might interest you. I was out sunbathing and it was a little bit blowy. This was last week. And I was under a parasol because I was just getting away from the sun a bit. And the wind took this parasol and came down on my head. And that gave me a giddy effect. So, you know, it's rather like when you go to the Caribbean. Never sunbathe under a coconut tree because, you know, there have been people killed in the Caribbean because coconuts are very hard. And if they crack down on your head, it's no fun, that.
Grace, my partner, has an irrational fear, which I don't think is that irrational, but she's overly scared of parasols on the beach because she imagines them being whipped off by the wind and then the pointy end impaling
spearing
someone.
Her.
Yeah, well, anyone.
What do you think of this idea? If you don't want a parasol and it is windy, just bigger in the sand, just dig a massive great hole and just bury yourself in it.
It's very hard to bury yourself.
I don't mean bury yourself. I mean a great big hole. It is dangerous for other people on the beach. And of course, if the tide comes in, you drown. But apart from that, it's not a bad idea.
Tiny little aspects of it. We're always thinking, aren't we, trying to think of new ways to improve
life.
Over the course of these series and a half, we've come up with some life-changing inventions that no one's really picking up on. I had a good idea yesterday.
What was that?
Dog cordial.
Dog cordial?
Yeah, I always feel a bit sad for my dog that he gets lots of treats to eat.
Yeah.
And he gets his food. And then I pour him a big bowl of water. And I think, would it be nice if I could, like, put, like, a cap full of, I don't know, something in there with it to make the drinking experience as enjoyable as the eating experience? So dog cordial. And you could also put something in there that would freshen his breath, maybe.
Well, that's another great idea. Funny enough, you should bring up dogs. The dog next door to us who comes around and visits us, Brooke, her name is. She's a lovely golden retriever. Mm-hmm. She, you know, we give her a biscuit and things like that when she comes around, but she doesn't like drinking. We put the water down for her, but she's not interested. Well, not interested at all. What sort of dog is yours, by the way?
It's a Labradoodle.
Labradoodle.
I'm not keen on saying Labradoodle.
And what's his or her name?
Redus.
That's an unusual name.
He's an unusual dog. He's sleeping a lot at the moment. He doesn't really get up until Judge Rinder starts at 2.
He likes that programme.
He loves Judge Rinder, yeah.
Does he enjoy on television any of the vet programmes at all? Or
no.
Not?
No, not really, but that's kind of understandable because I don't really enjoy watching doctor programmes on television.
You don't like doctor programmes, no?
Well, I'm trying to think of any doctor. I mean, I do like vet programmes.
Well, there is doctors. Ambulance,
doctors in
inside
afternoon.
An ambulance, outside Hobby an ambulance,
City.
On top of an ambulance. Underneath an ambulance, there's loads.
I've never seen on top
the other
of
week about TV shows and box sets and getting into things, and I'm getting into shows and then finding it like a job. I'm not enjoying it, but I'm like, oh, I better put in a couple of hours of this program. Do you agree?
I do to a certain extent. I'm watching things now that I haven't watched for a long time. You know, Only Fools and Horses and Heidi High, as I've mentioned before. Things like that. Enjoying Coronation Street, but I'm still having sleepless nights as to knowing how, in actual fact, how many more they've got.
Yeah,
because I've never been without Coronation Street. You know, right from the word go, and this worries me.
Well, I think they should get the cast of Coronation Street and quarantine them all together, so that they can film.
Great idea. They've done that with Elite Wrestling.
Have they
done that?
They've put them all wrestlers. In one flat. And,
I think so, yeah. I think they're all, I don't know, they're all together and they all seem to be fine and they're performing beautifully in front of nobody.
Well, as long as there's Elite Wrestling, the world can keep on spinning.
Well, that's right. I'm glad you said that. I think the same way as well.
Well,
my wife's also got obsessed by solar lights as well.
Oh.
We've got them all over the garden. And she's put them in a row. And what I'm worried about is that If a big airliner is coming in, it might sort of confuse it as an airstrip.
Well, if you...
Because we're very close to Elstree Aerodrome.
Are you?
Well, so I've got to not place them in quite such a straight line.
Well, that would be a good way in a murder mystery for someone to bump off their husband. I'm sure she's not trying to do this. But if you imagine making a path of...
solar lights.
Yep. And then every night you go to the shed and you follow the path. And then one night she makes it go to the pond.
Wow.
And in the night you follow the path and you usually end up in the, shed.
Yeah.
But on this occasion, because you just, something's beeping. Okay, I'm just going to see if the dishwasher's beeping. One second.
Right.
You look for those files. One sec.
Dishwasher. There you go. You see Ricky just showing off he's got a dishwasher. Have you ever wanted to be a giant panda?
Of course.
Not a day goes by without thinking that's what I'd like to do.
I think we all have. Mm. I actually have one of those suits, a giant panda suit. And sometimes, just for fun, I go into the garden and prance around there.
Prance?
Yes. In a very giant panda-ish sort of way.
Sluggish of way. But that makes sense. But talking about endangered animals, I mean, a lot of people during this lockdown period have been watching The Tiger King on their Netflix.
Oh, God, it's lovely, isn't it? Wonderful.
It's a fantastic program. Wonderful.
Incidentally, talking about that animal, since I last saw you, Ricky, my wife, Debbie, and I, we've been away on safari.
Yeah.
And
how was that?
It was absolutely amazing. And I really went in there because, I don't like to mention this, but I was the first King of the Jungle.
Yeah, of course you were, yeah.
So I wanted to go there just to let the animals see me.
That's because they need a bit of hope, don't they? When you were in the jungle, I know you're a vegetarian. Were you a vegetarian in the jungle?
I was a vegetarian in the jungle, yes.
Very good. That's a great way to get away with not eating all the nonsense they try and make you eat, isn't it?
You're absolutely right.
But safaris, I'd like to go on a safari, but what I can't stand, hunting. And I read the other week that Harry's going to give up hunting. You don't think it'd be that hard to give up hunting, do you?
Well, not really, no. You just stop killing things.
You'd go, just, oh, really trying to give up, but I had a slip today at your HA meeting, Hunters Anonymous, going, I saw a ladybird and I just had to stand on it.
Well, that's it, isn't it? Outside today I saw a bee struggling. It was on its back. And I very gently put it over, and I felt really good about that. It flew off.
You like bees, don't you?
Love them. Manuka honey.
Oh, I know you do.
Lovely stuff from New Zealand.
Well, Manuka honey is expensive, and recently I was putting a quiz together, and Manuka honey was up there in expensive liquids. Printer ink is very expensive.
It is.
Scorpion venom is $35 million a gallon.
Why would you want it?
I don't know. Rich people buy all sorts of nonsense, don't they?
What, including snakes' venom?
It was scorpion venom. But the most expensive liquid in the world is racehorse semen.
Good Lord. Obviously, from not any old racehorse.
You'd be a bit knackered.
You wouldn't want it, would you?
No, but you know, I think you have to be in the racehorse game to want to spend that much money, $125 million a gallon. I don't think I'm not in the market for that. Not even a thimbleful. I'm not bothered.
No, I suppose things are only worth what you're willing to pay for it, actually.
Ricky and Tony, Pop Detectives.
Have you got a favourite hob ring on your cooker?
No, I don't go that far. I can only operate the microwave, which I'm quite good at.
Yeah.
But when it comes to, I can only operate the oven and stick it up to 250.
When you turn on the oven, do you look at the packet to see what temperature you've got to put it on? Or you just put it on 200 and just go,
I stick it on 250 and I don't bother.
Really?
I just do
whack it right up. You treat it like the faders on the radio.
Yeah. I check it now and then every 10 minutes. Well, about every 7 or 8 minutes I go there and see if it's browned off.
Is it?
I find it very difficult when you go from summertime to wintertime to change the actual clock on the front.
Oh, I never bother.
That drives me balmy, that.
I never
You don't bother?
No.
So you're always on, are you on, always on winter, summertime?
Let's have a look at it now. I'm giving away that I'm not in my office here.
Are you on summertime or winter
time? It says 1:52. What time is it?
Oh, you're on winter time.
There you go. That's why I'm chilly.
Yeah.
Put a hoodie on.
So it's quite nice for you. You're thinking the whole time you're on winter time, so it's quite nice when it gets to the evenings and you think, whoa, it's nice.
Yeah.
It's nice and light for the winter.
Exactly. Exactly, I don't know why they bother.
I tell you something, Ricky, I've been playing a really great video game called Dune's Journey. I don't know if you've heard of it. Somebody recommended it to me and I downloaded it and I've had a lot of fun with it. It's really good. I would suggest you try it.
I've heard about it from my underground sources and it's Dune's Journey and it's a hidden object mystery game. Now, I like that, like a puzzle, and it's set in the 1920s, isn't it, like we are?
It is, yes. Yeah. Well, I'm of course in the 1910s. You're in the 1920s.
And would I be correct? 1900s, yeah. Would I be correct in saying it's free on mobile devices?
Amazingly, it is free. I tell you how you do it. You download Dune's Journey from Ouga for free from your app store or on your device or desktop from Amazon or indeed Facebook as well. So you've got a lot of options there.
Well, we need a bit of downtime because, you know, it's better, you know, we're working solidly on the Pop Detectives, but this is kind of a bit of downtime, but a fun, but still in keeping with what we do because it's detectorism, isn't it?
Well, it is. Is there such a word as detectorism?
I suppose there is now.
It's a great word.
Thank you.
Yeah, it's a great word. And it is. It's a detectorism game, and you look for clues, and if you can't find the clue, there's a sort of a spyglass there that will direct you to what you're looking for. So all in all, it's a bit of fun.
So the company that make it, they're called Wooga, and they've made all sorts of brilliant games. But this one is a detective story taking place all over the world, back in the height of the Roaring Twenties. Hey, we're in the Roaring Twenties now, aren't we?
Oh, we certainly are.
And the second wave of the Roaring Twenties. Yeah. Don't say second wave. So it's a murder mystery, and the main protagonist is June Parker.
She's
on a quest to solve the murder of her sister and uncover her family's many secrets. So, I'm in. I am in.
Well, I'm already in. I've already played one of the games, and it's encouraging me to play more of these sort of games as well.
I know. Next thing, we'll see you in a VR headset, all the gear, stumbling around Soho.
That's it. Absolutely.
So download Dune's Journey from Wooga for free from your app store on your mobile device or on desktop from Amazon or Facebook.
The ceiling fan whirled around as slowly as a sun-stroked fly. Ricky and Tony, Pop Detectives.
I was looking at T-shirts the other day, Tony, and I found a thing online where you can go on and you can write anything you want on a T-shirt in any colour and then put a logo on it that they provide you kind of thousands of logos.
Yep.
And I designed myself a Lenny Gamble T-shirt.
Gamble, what a great singer he was.
If you don't know, listener, then that used to be the the pseudonym of Tony when he was the chart topper. So it said Lenny, then a pair of rolling dice underneath,
yep,
then Gamble at the bottom.
Fantastic. Can I tell you a little bit about Lenny?
Yeah, I'd like to know about Lenny.
Because he's a he is me, of course, but it was a record that came out under a pseudonym. Mm. It was a white label. You know, it was one of those records that hadn't been released. It was on an album, one of my great albums. And it was a Doris Troy track I heard called I'll Do Anything. Mm. And I wanted to do a version of it. And I did that version, and I found that I was completely incapable of singing soul. But it became a big hit in the Northern Soul clubs. And I went to Wigan Casino, and they introduced me as Lenny Gamble. And there was a look of horror as I came on stage, and people had realized that they'd bought a Tony Blackburn record.
Well, I think they should be proud of themselves, which brings me on to my next issue, which is yes. Obviously I follow you on Twitter, and I see you,
as tinkling, I follow you.
Tinkling on your ivories. Mm. You don't know the camera's on. Now, and I see you playing piano and singing and sometimes guitar. And yep. some of the catalogue of work you're amassing is very impressive. And as soon as lockdown's over, I think we should get into a studio.
Well, I think they're very simple songs, and I obviously haven't done the whole versions of them. And but they are getting a great reaction, and I'm just waiting to be approached by a major record company.
Well, me too. But I think with both of our sway in yes. the music industry, I mean, yeah. I'd like to put my name as producer, but I think we should get someone else on the sly. So if there's any top producers listening, I don't think we should go too cutting edge.
Nope.
We should stick to, you know, they're happy songs mainly, aren't they?
They're very, very happy songs about butterflies and sun and things like that. Nothing negative, it's all positive.
Yeah, I reckon we're onto a winner here.
I would like you to produce the records, though. This is one thing I'd love to do.
My production role would very much be just getting croissants and tea in the morning and sitting there. Obviously, for the photographs, I'd like to be sat at the desk pushing a fader, like you see many pop stars doing.
How would you feel about my writing? Because I write, I knock these songs out quite regularly now, actually, you know, about two or three a day. And if I wrote a song, perhaps, I don't know how to put this, a duet between you and I.
Oh, no, I'd definitely up for
would
that.
Would you go for that?
I've been waiting for you to ask, to be honest.
While you've been talking, I've already written one.
How
Ricky and Tony, pop detectives are Rick. The best. Oh, Ricky and Tony
yeah.
are the best in a vest.
But you mentioned the first song played on Radio 1. Is it Flowers in the Rain?
Flowers in the Rain, yeah.
Should we have a sing song?
Yes.
We'll start from, not from the beginning.
Goes like
quite
that.
Hard, yeah.
And then woke up this morning. Ding, 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 ding. Woke up this morning.
Half asleep. Sleep. I'm just sitting, watching flowers
in the rain.
Flowers in the rain.
Watching the garden grow.
Yeah. Who was that?
It's funny, you know, I've played all these records over the years and I still don't know any of the lyrics to them. It's one of those weird things.
I'm not good with lyrics. I know the ones I've written because I write them down a lot.
Of course, yeah.
But then the weirdest thing, Tony, is that when I forget the words, afterwards, if I meet people, they always say it was their favourite bit.
Well, the words you've just made up.
The bit when I get it wrong.
Oh, I see. Think, yeah. Oh, people love that, don't they?
They love it. And I bet you get it all the time with your radio. You know, you do a flawless show. So from beginning to end, absolutely brilliant. And then no one says anything. Yeah. But if you make a mistake and say something wrong, then everyone comments on your Twitter saying, that was brilliant, Tony.
Oh, I love it.
But you can't plan those things.
I made a mistake. The last mistake I made was in 1967. I was doing a breakfast show and I gave the incorrect time. But apart from that, it's been pretty plain sailing.
But you've had the time wrong ever since?
Yes. Yeah. Yes.
You've always been 30 years behind everyone else.
With this, you know, lockdown and things like that, it doesn't bother me. It's social isolating because, to be honest with you, people social isolated me a long, long time ago. So I just sit at home. But as somebody said the other day, you know, people went through a world war and the Second World War. I, of course, was in the Second World War, as you probably know.
Yeah, yeah.
2 years I was in that cot, so been bombed by the Nazis.
Were you born in 42 or 43?
43.
43.
1943. So
see my maths then?
Yeah, it was very good. Very good. But it wasn't easy. It wasn't easy being a child in those days. Even
well, no.
I was 2 years old. I was there in my cot in, down in Poole in Dorset. Yeah. And, you know, I think casting. The... I think probably Hitler got to know I was there and really did bomb that area for some time.
Well,
but I survived
it. You know, people sometimes say, oh, if I had a time machine, I'd go back and kill Hitler. Well, maybe Hitler had a time machine and he wanted to go back and kill you.
But I do remember there were nasty times with the, you know, the planes flying over. And I remember looking up to my mum and dad and saying, Adolf's not going to get me. I remember that.
And he didn't.
2 years old, you know, very advanced for my years.
You were. Yeah. You were very advanced. And you still are very advanced for your years. You've got the knowledge of a 300-year-old.
I've just taken my headphones off there because I can hear the rain coming down.
Is it raining?
Yeah, it's raining, yes.
When it was sunny, I thought, oh, isn't it terrible it's sunny because we can't enjoy the sun? And now it's raining. Isn't it terrible it's raining because I can't even enjoy my hour
outside? I enjoy it when it's sunny. I go out into the garden and do a lot of sunbathing, and I am actually rather like a golden god at the moment. It's better than when I was on holiday. You know, I've got amazing colour.
You're not as golden as you used to be. I saw a clip of you early in the week. It was on the internet doing the rounds. You were looking very tanned, but also very disappointed in a magician on a... on a talent show you were judging.
Oh, yes, I saw that, yeah. He was dreadful.
Well, he was. But have you done a lot of that kind of TV talent show judging? Because I thought you were good in the way you didn't even want to show that you might be enjoying it. You just sat there looking as if I want to be anywhere else than looking at this magician.
Well, it was the most bizarre thing I've ever seen, a magician who, I think he tied himself up and he couldn't get out of what he tied himself up into again, which I thought was not one of the best acts.
Well,
but I've got to be honest with you, I didn't like to laugh at it. I felt a bit sorry for him.
Ricky and Tony, Pop Detectives.
You probably know that I watched 16 Coronation Streets in a row when I came back from holiday once. Yeah. I put a whole day aside. And the interesting thing about Coronation Street is it's a half-an-hour program, but it's not really. It's about 22 minutes or so. Yeah. But it took the whole day to watch the 16, and I thought I enjoyed every moment. And then at the end of it, it was around about 7:15, and I suddenly realised there were two more on the way. So I watched 18 altogether. It was one of the best days of my life.
So you did that, watched all those Coronation Streets, and then everyone's banging on about Colonel Tom Moore. But who's the real hero here, Tony?
Well,
Of course.
Absolutely right.
Can I just point out that Colonel Tom Moore did an amazing job, and that was a joke, a flippant joke.
Yeah, but he didn't watch 18 Coronation Streets in a row, did he? Okay, he went up and down the garden 100 times. Do you know what I might do? I might actually revisit this whole thing and watch 18 Coronation Streets in a row whilst going up and down my garden 100 times.
Yeah, we could rig you up a device a little bit like, what you know, when Bob Dylan has a harmonica holder.
Yes.
Around his neck. We could rig you up one of those, but with an iPhone on it. And you could watch a Coronation Street from around your neck.
Yep.
So it's in front of your face.
Yes.
Up and down your garden.
Yep.
And we could do that for charity, for the NHS.
That's a terrific idea.
I mean, if they would have you, quarantine accepted, you could go up to Granada Studios and walk up and down the cobbles while watching, you know, endless.
That's an impact. With Ken Barlow on my... Well, on my side, you know.
Because obviously it'd be televised. We could get them to do, different people could spend an hour with you, different cast members, and this could be a real goer. It'd be good for comic relief, I think. I think
it'd be very good for a whole series, actually, to be honest with you. Because I mean, at the moment they're finding it very difficult to film. They're doing social distancing. But if I was walking up and down the cobbles with Ken Barlow, we could be socially distanced.
They could write it into the script.
Yeah.
Tony Blackburn, the eminent DJ, is doing a charity event where he's like walking up and down streets.
Yeah.
And you could walk past the Rovers, and part of the episode they could have the bunting out and celebrating you as you walk past.
Of course, the guy that did the
Rod Hull.
Was it Rod Hull? Yeah. He died by falling off a roof, didn't he? His TV aerial.
It was the cup final.
Where was Emu when all this was going on?
Well, there you go. Maybe if he'd been wearing Emu, he would have had a better time of it, because Emu had a famously strong grip with his mouth, didn't he?
He did, yeah.
Whereas if you were Bob Carroll, spit the dog, useless.
Oh, absolutely, yeah. Yeah. Mustn't be funny when you think about it. It must be funny to talk, be talking to something on the end of your hand, really, isn't it? You know, I mean, it's weird, yeah. Isn't it? I mean, you hold your hand up like that. Hello, how are you? I'm all right.
I'm more now dazzled by the prolific amount of middle-aged men with puppets that were in the 70s and 80s entertaining us.
Yes.
And now it's not such a big thing. No. You know, we had Keith and Orville. We had Bob and Spit.
Yeah.
Rod Hull and Emu, Bernie Clifton and his ostrich.
Let me take you right the way back, Ricky, somebody you probably won't remember, the first one of the first ventriloquists, Peter Brough.
I don't remember Peter
Archie
Brough.
Andrews. Peter Brough and Archie Andrews on the radio. And he was
a radio ventriloquist.
Radio ventriloquist.
Easiest job in the world.
Yeah, he was the worst ventriloquist ever, because when television came in, he used to hold the puppet in front of his mouth so nobody could see his mouth. This is absolutely true. So he was the worst mimic at all. I mean, he was dreadful.
Ricky and Tony, pop detectives.
This will interest you. I have, for a long time, with socks... You have different types of socks and things like that. Yeah. And they always get mixed up. So what I do now, I only have black socks. And I have a black sock drawer. And so that's all I do. So I don't have to worry about matching them up. Because I had sleepless nights over that.
So you're not a baller. You don't ball your socks into pairs.
No, I don't.
All right.
No,
it's
I don't.
One of my one of my pleasures. When Grace puts out the washing to dry, sometimes I do. When I do it, as I'm taking out the machine, I put them into pairs on the line so that when I take them off, I can ball them, you know, there and then. Whereas she puts them on willy-nilly, which always winds me up a little bit.
Who's willy-nilly?
He is...
It's a friend of yours, is he?
It's a bit like...
What's she doing putting her socks on willy-nilly?
Well, in pantomime, you remember there was a famous laundry person. What was that laundry person? He had a name like willy-nilly.
Yeah, that's right, yeah.
Yeah, I can't remember the name.
Any problem is that when you say that when they come out of the washing, you pin them up on the line or whatever it might be in pairs. How do you know when they come out of the washing machine that they are actually the right pairs?
Because I have all the same make of socks, and they're stripy, and so I know that they're pairs because I only have stripy socks.
That's a good system you've got there. I mean, I like a man who's got a system.
Mm. I also bought... all my pants are the same as well.
Underpants are very, very important for a man, I think.
And, very important.
Yeah, I mean, some people have... I've seen people put them on very baggy shorts, and I think there's no support there whatsoever. How do you get through life?
I'm a boxer brief kind of man. There needs to be a little cupping involved. But yeah, you see men in boxer shorts, the classic boxer shorts, and I just think... I'd feel vulnerable.
Absolutely. I'm with you on this one.
I can't understand people like sleeping naked. I think that's I'd feel very vulnerable. What if something happened in the night and you had to jump out?
Well,
and confront an attacker.
Can I shock you here?
Yes.
I sleep naked.
Do you?
Yeah.
Do you not feel vulnerable?
No. No.
Well, I suppose in your...
I think if anybody was breaking into the house, I'd get up and give them a treat.
Well, the shock of the life. There's a story about George Harrison. This is a myth we could dispel. He once had an intruder. It was a couple of years before he died.
Yeah.
And he ran down the stairs naked, shouting Hare Krishna, and scared the bejesus out of them. That's for sure. And they ran away. So that's what you should do. Next time you think there's someone in the house, just run down the stairs, shouting Hare Krishna. And you'd be very unlucky if it was the same attackers who attacked George Harrison, because then they'd be used to it and wouldn't be scared off at all. But more than likely, it would be different people, and then you'd be you'd scare them off.
Interesting. That comes back, though, the fact that I've owned up to the fact I don't wear anything when I go to sleep. You wear pyjamas.
I do.
And it goes back to that is the reason why if a brick falls in your pool...
Yeah.
I'm you always ready. You need your pyjamas on.
The only thing I do have to do now is get a pool.
I see, yes.
But if I do have a pool, I'll know who to call to be the lifeguard.
Which is
you. You have the badge.
I'm there for you.
And if you don't have the badge on, I won't let you rescue me because I won't be able to see your credentials. But if you do have your badge on, I'll say, yes, you can gently put your arm around my neck and pull me safely to shore.
Can I just say that if I got up in the middle of the night, you certainly would see my credentials.
Ricky and Tony, Pop Detectives.
So that's it for now. We're you and me, Tony. We've got to go undercover for a bit, work on some new cases, isn't that right?
Yeah, that's absolutely true.
So, we will be back. Keep your ear to the ground, though, and also keep contacting us. And let us know if there are any pop myths you'd like uncovering, debunking. That's a great word, debunking, isn't it?
I love it, yeah.
Yeah. And get in touch at rickyandtony.com. That's our website, guys. Send an email to podcast@rickyandtony.com. Find us on Twitter at rickyandtonypod. That's about it for this series. So
thanks for listening.
But you can listen again, can't you?
Mm. Yeah, absolutely. I do listen to them, though. It's really nice to hear us back again and hear it in the very professional way we solve these myths.
Well, in that case, I'll start listening.
Yeah, you must.
The music business was mean, but Ricky and Tony could do mean. They were born for it, like a mayfly was born to die at the end of the day. They slammed shut the filing cabinet, pulled the cord on the Venetian blind, threw on their trench coats, and headed out into the rain. Until next time.